Commander to view. I know we had a discussion about the naming of the office suite and here in Honors College at our last committee meeting. Does anybody else have any more comments about that or discussions on that? So can we have a motion to approve the naming of the office suite?
So moved.
Second. Okay, so all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, the motion passes. Next item I think Amanda will address as well, and this is an approval of endowment fund minimum increase to $25,000.
Yes, thank you, Regent West. We are here today to seek approval for an increase to the minimum endowment fund to $25,000 effective January 1, 2025. Back in June, we shared a pretty robust information packet with you all about a lot of our naming policies and procedures here on campus, and told you we would bring this action item to you to increase the endowment minimum, which currently sets at $10,000, up to $25,000. In your packet, in the action item, there's a lot of detail in there why we are seeking this request. I'll hit a few of those. Number one, we're the only public institution in the state of Kentucky that has an endowment minimum less than $25,000. 18 of our 20 benchmarks also have an endowment minimum of at least $25,000. Some of those are higher than that. Also, when you think about the spending allocation, when you increase that endowment minimum from $10,000 to $25,000, the minimum spending allocation now increases from $400 to $1,000, offering a greater return for our colleges and our units to be able to spend that money. You know, ultimately, increasing the endowment minimum to $25,000 will increase revenue. There are a lot of studies, a lot of data from across institutions that once you raise that endowment minimum, you get greater investment from those who are creating endowments. You also create a lot more opportunity for annual gifts that will now come in below that. Gifts below 25 are very much needed and important. But when you think about a $10,000 endowment minimum over a five-year period, that's $2,000 a year. Our deans and our units could really use that $2,000 today to invest in some of their strategic initiatives and immediate needs in the college. So again, we feel this is strongly needed for our institution, and we would seek your permission to raise that endowment minimum.
Anybody have any questions or comments? Okay. There being none, then we will move on to request a motion to approve the increase in the minimum endowment fund to $25,000 as the effective January 1st, 2025.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Motion passes. The next item on the agenda, action item, is approval of the honorific naming of Garrett Plaza.
Back up. Endowment match program.
Oh, I'm sorry. Approval of endowment match program, action item number three.
All right, this is a great one to do. We get to celebrate four individuals who have made gifts to the university through our endowment match program with the state. We are seeking approval of gifts and pledges by private donors that are eligible for the state match as part of the Council on Postsecondary Education Endowment Match Program through the Comprehensive University Excellence Trust Fund. Traditionally known as the Bucks for Brains Matching Program, there have been four rounds prior to 2010. So again, it's been 14 years since we've had an opportunity to utilize a matching program from the state to incentivize private investment in state institutions. To date, WKU has received just over $14 million in matching funds from the state, which has resulted now in a value of over $46 million in 79 funds within the university. For this round, WKU is eligible for an additional $2.475 million in matching funds. We did have a couple caveats for this matching money. Number one, it had to support STEM plus H disciplines, so H is healthcare. And no more than 50% of those funds could go to support students. So that meant 50% of that $2.475 has to go to support faculty. This is the first round that has required approval by our governing boards, to then ultimately submit that information to the state for a match. You will see in this action item that we have four gifts to seek your approval today that have been pledged and documented thus far, totaling $1 million. We have the remaining $1.475 million out in proposals and are hopeful that we'll be closing that within this next fiscal year. Even better, you will see that we have two gifts from a current regent and a recently former regent that we will be able to celebrate today. So I'm pleased to share for your approval, first of all, a gift from Regent Brody and his wife, Gail. They have committed $250,000 to benefit students in the Gordon Warren College of Business through two funds, a scholarship fund in accounting and a scholarship fund to support the largest living and learning community on campus, which is the Business LLC. In addition, Franklin Bank and Trust has committed a match of $250,000 to also enhance the Brody's gifts to their two above-mentioned funds. Former Regent Linda Ball made a gift of $250,000 to create a scholarship fund in honor of her mother, Yvonne Sharber Gamblin, to benefit nursing students in the western part of Kentucky. And finally, Don and Jennifer Grulick have committed an additional $250,000 to enhance the Grulick Chair in Robotics and Automation Engineering, which was originally established in 2007.
That's wonderful, wonderful news to hear. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Do I have a motion for approval of the endowment match program for the Comprehensive University Excellence?
Second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? So all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Great, motion passes. Now we get to the honorific naming of paraplasm.
Yes. Thank you. Again, we seek approval of the honorary naming of Garrett Plaza, located at the former site of the Garrett Conference Center, in recognition of Dr. Paul Garrett and Miss Virginia Garrett. As you all know, the Garrett Conference Center was raised in 2021 after 70 years of usage on our campus to make way for the opening of the Commons in 2022. The demolition of the facility returned the top of campus the original landscape envisioned by Dr. Cherry, providing a more pedestrian-friendly area for our students, faculty, and staff at the top of campus. If you all have not been up there yet, it is phenomenal. To honor Dr. and Mrs. Garrett's transformational leadership on WKU's campus, we seek approval for an honorary naming of the Garrett Plaza. If approved today, the campus committee will officially dedicate that space during a ceremony on September 5th.
If I could add just one more thing to the naming, Mrs. Garrett had a great interest in the trees and plants on campus, and even after President Garrett passed away, she spent most of the rest of her life beautifying campus, and so it's also a really appropriate way to honor her contribution to the institution with an outdoor space that really is truly spectacular.
Okay. Any comments, questions? You don't have a motion to approve the honorary naming of Garrett Plaza in recognition of Dr. Paul Garrett and his wife, Miss Virginia Garrett. Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Oh, very good. That motion passes as well. And I think, is there anything else that you have in mind yet? Or do we want to move on to the memorandum of understanding and then you have an informational item?
Thank you, Richard West. You have two MOUs for approval today, one with the Alumni Association and another with the Hilltopper Athletic Foundation. It is important that we have a formal agreement outlining the respective responsibilities of each entity and how we support one another. But this is of critical importance to us today because we need these agreements to meet our SACS accreditation standard. So there is a standard that requires us to delineate operating control, establish the president as the ultimate individual with responsibility for fundraising for our support entities, and also to establish liability and provide for those provisions in this agreement. As you may recall, you approved an MOU with the College Heights Foundation last summer, and so this language is very similar in structure. We're asking for your approval of these MOUs today. Happy to take any questions.
Do I have any questions, comments? Okay, there being none, then do I have a motion to approve the Memorandum of Understanding between the Hilltopper Athletic Foundation and Western Kentucky University?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right, the motion passes, and then we have another approval of a Memorandum of Understanding
with the Alumni Association.
And any further discussion about that? Okay, do I have a motion for approval of the Memorandum of Understanding with the Alumni Association? Okay, do I have a second? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right, thank you. Thank you, Andrea. And I think that's it, right, for you? And then we will move on to a philanthropy update.
Thank you, Regent West. I have a quick update for you today on our fiscal year-end results with philanthropy and save-the-date information for exciting things coming up this fall. We'll get started with a familiar graph that I share with this group pretty regularly, which is our fiscal year comparison of gift receiving. You'll see this year that we had a bit of softening in our gift receipts. So again, gift receipts is really our revenue transactions year over year. We raised $19.5 million in this year. I shared with this group back in December, WKU traditionally doesn't book a seven-figure gift receipt every single year. This is one of those years where we did not get a receipt at seven figures. Last year, we had a $2.8 million gift that was received. So as we've talked about, that's the ebbs and the flows. But as the president shared earlier, right around $20 million is what we are gift receipting for the past 5 fiscal years. You'll see with that trend line, about 80% of our gifts are still coming in at the major level, which follows national trends. You're seeing a lot more mega gifts. You're seeing the billion-dollar gifts that are coming from McKinsey Scott and Bloomberg. And so again, as we all know, with record inflation over the past couple of years, you think about our constituency and our alumni base, we've lost several donors that were making $25, $50, $100 gifts because they're putting food on the table. So that makes it even more important for us to focus on those major and principal level gifts as we continue to move forward in our fundraising efforts. So our overall fundraising productivity, this takes into account all fundraising activity that we are doing on behalf of the institution. So you see that top line, gift receipts, $19.5 million, which translates from the last slide. Pledge commitments, which is our, for example, the business school. We book pledges up to 5 years, so that predicts future cash flow for the institution. Soft credit, that includes things like gift in kind, Hilltopper Athletic Foundation gifts that come in to support ticket purchases. Those aren't charitable gifts, but that's revenue that the university is producing. And then deferred gift commitments, which are our bequests, charitable trusts, and other vehicles for deferred gifts. We were down $85,000, so we're flat. And it's pretty incredible when you really think about the year that we've had. The big difference is those pledge commitments, which, again, we have been focused on a laser focus with our team and having philanthropic planning conversations with our donors about not just what can you do for us this year, but let's talk about a plan and how can we plan for our future, forecast cash flow, building projects, other ways that we can secure additional support and know what we can predict from now through the next few years. So again, proud of our team and their effort to secure another $31.3 million for the institution. Our Alumni Engagement Index. I wanted to share this with you all today. This was a slide that Anthony McAdoo, the Executive Director of the Alumni Association, recently shared during our National Board of Directors meeting this summer. It's like donor participation. Alumni engagement is a challenging percentage to move year to year. We continue to increase that denominator. More people are being added to the base than are falling off, which we're grateful for. We're growing our alumni network, but when you think about it as a percentage of that overall base, it's hard to move that number. And so you look, we had a declining percentage over the past 6 years, particularly after COVID. You think about how people changed the way that they engage. They didn't come to in-person events like they once did. We had to do more virtually and over online. For this year, our alumni engagement team, 12.9%, which is incredible. Our board celebrated that number. We feel that now some of the strategies we've employed over the last three fiscal years are now starting to pay off. We'll see how this year trends, but very, very proud of our alumni engagement team, our entire team, to really think differently about the way that we engage with our alumni, more targeted, and utilizing our resources that we have, as we all know, in a tight budget environment. Our alumni board is an extremely engaged group of volunteers. They are excited, they are energized, and they really helped us meet this mark this year. So really proud of the team for that 12.9% engagement index number.
Amanda, would you talk just a bit about how alumni relations has changed over time? It used to be chapter involvement and parties and gatherings, and what the literature says is that alumni want to have meaningful engagement with the institution and students. We talked a little bit about
that. Yeah. To your point, a lot of chapter clubs, events, mainly alumni engagement, was event-driven in the past. Obviously, with our younger generations, people connect virtually. We do a lot of work through LinkedIn, just congratulating people on job promotions. We send out videos. We meet people where they are versus always having to go to them. Also, when you think about a finite set of budget resources, we can't send people all around the country to sponsor alumni events all the time. We still do and have very successful events, but we've had to pick and choose where we invest those resources and figure out ways to meet people where they are and have them engaged with the institution. As we already discussed today, we continue to see momentum in raising funds for the Gordon Ford College of Business. We have secured just shy of $9 million currently in pledges and gifts for that facility. We have several proposals out for that opportunity. We had an event July 17th down in Nashville where we introduced Dr. Thrasher to the Nashville community. Dr. Caboni shared a university update. We've actually had three gift conversations come just out of that event, which was great. We're planning on replicating that same event in Louisville and Bowling Green this fall. And so, again, a lot of momentum coming from this, a lot of conversations. The entry point is $10,000. And so that all goes to support the construction of the facility. We have 96 offices, I think. So again, there's opportunities for everyone to jump in and leave their mark on the College of Business. But we're really thrilled with our effort thus far and feel encouraged that over the next year, you'll see a significant increase in that dollar total for the business school. So the Opportunity Fund. We've talked a lot about the Opportunity Fund, and as of June 30th, we officially closed the Opportunity Fund campaign. President Caboni will have a wonderful announcement Monday morning during convocation about the results of that effort, but I wanted to take the opportunity for you all to get this on your calendars. September 20th, we will have a celebration about all of the work that we've done over the past 7 years to increase our aid for our students across this campus. It's going to be a wonderful way for us to share and showcase our colleges and our partners across campus, engage students with our donors and our alumni at that event. We're really excited about it and hope that all of you all can join us at that event. Last week, we announced our 33rd class of our Hall of Distinguished Alumni, and we have three individuals this year who will be honored. Al Cross, class of 75, who has been a devoted working journalist for the citizens to help better exercise their roles in a democratic society. Joy Hamilton Marini, class of 83, who has served as a global director of three divisions of Johnson & Johnson over time, including Global Community Impact, Global Public Health, and the Office of the Chief Medical Officer. And finally, David C. Wilson, class of 93, who is the Dean of the Richard and Rhoda Goldman School of Public Policy and Professor of Public Policy and Political Science at the University of California, Berkeley. We're going to once again honor this group at our Hilltopper Excellence Awards, which was the wonderful event we hosted for the first time last year to kick off Homecoming Week, which is November 14th through 16th. There we go. Homecoming, November 14th through 16th. So on Thursday evening, we'll have our Hilltopper Excellence Awards, where we will honor our HODA recipients, as well as five other university honorees during that evening. Of course, Friday the 15th will be our traditional JA chili cheese event, our parade. And then the 16th will be, of course, our homecoming football game with Louisiana Tech. Hold your calendars for that. That's all I have today.
Thank you very much.
Is there anybody that has a question real quick? So I know surrounding homecoming, you know, being a student, I have a lot of young alumni connections, especially people that were, you know, seniors and juniors when I was, you know, above me when I was in college or whatever, but we're all still in college. But there's kind of a little bit of concern with, like, the 11 o'clock kickoff. Like, I've been talking to a lot of my friends, especially like a former Regent Borna fellows in D.C., and he's like, dude, like, why would I come down, like, you know, for an 11 o'clock kickoff? Like, I want to know, like, what's going on. So, like, what are y'all's plans to kind of help combat, like, the concerns around, like, an 11 o'clock kickoff? Because a lot of people, too, that are just, like, driving up to it, and they're like, dude, by the time I, like, drive up there in the morning, and, like, the game's already going to be going on. So, like, what plans do y'all have that hopefully kind of, like, make that a day full of worth, like, because I want all my friends to go there, so I need to know, like, what the pitch, so, like, why you should come, like, for, you know, kind of, like, an earlier day than usual.
Yeah. Well, I'll look at Todd, our friends in athletics. Unfortunately, we don't get to set the time for the football game. That's all set by television and driven by the conference. So, you know, hopefully people will want to come in because we're starting on Thursday evening, again, with the Hilltopper Excellence Awards, if people can come in early, and, of course, Friday. You know, we've reimagined the parade and the way that we engage with downtown, so hopefully people will come in earlier than just Saturday. If I'm correct, are you all hosting your Athletic Hall of Fame?
It'll be a dinner on Saturday night after the game. Versus,
we are planning for some things to happen after homecoming this year, since the game is early. All that's still in planning, but, you know, we kind of have to deal with what the schedule dictates and what television dictates. But that's what we are planning.
Is it themed set for homecoming yet?
It is. Right. Again, for this is the third year that has been student selected. It's called Roaring Red. It's going to be a 20s Prohibition era theme. So it should be a lot of fun. The logos, they're working on logo development. Looks really cool, so I think the students will get really
big
engaged.
Big red flapper.
Outfit. Homecoming is like my favorite thing that we do every year. So I'm excited to see what we do with it.
Yeah. What time does tailgating start?
9 a.m.
7.
Any other comments? Well, thank you so much. Great update. That is the end of executive committee. Does anybody have any new business or other business to bring forth? Okay, there being none. Just remind everybody, convocation is August 12th. What's the time?
Monday. 10 a.m.
Monday at 10 a.m. And then our next
will be less than an hour.
All right. And our next meeting is October 18th, committee meeting. All right. No further business. We will be adjourned.
Yeah.